Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. How you doing? You look awesome tonight. Why don't you lean over to your neighbor and say, it's all you. Oh, that was good. But I think you could do better. Lean over, look at your neighbor, say, it's all you. All right. Did everybody get your note sheet tonight? Wave those at me. If you didn't get one, raise your hand and our ushers can make sure that you get one. Anybody not get one of those? All right, looks good. All right, well, do you guys appreciate those? Aren't those helpful? I sure appreciate our team doing those. We're going to get started tonight with Waiting Well, part two. Does that sound good? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, God. We are grateful and thankful just to be a part of the mission here at Church on the Rock, which is to lead people to a God who's for them and help them discover His purpose for their lives, God. And that's what we want to do tonight, God, with this message. Lord, let it fall on good ground, God. And our hope is that people would take the next step. As a result tonight, they would know you a little bit better. Maybe someone here would find freedom. Maybe somebody else would discover their purpose or maybe even make a difference, God, as a result of the word that goes forward. Lord, we thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. All right. Thank you, KJ. Give KJ a hand clap. Awesome. Okay. Well, cool. If you recall from last week, we were talking about the waiting season or the wilderness season. You guys remember that? My story about my cowboy gun, and some people were asking me, Daniel, did you end up getting the cowboy gun? No, I did not end up getting the cowboy gun. I only got a spanking. That was it. But the cowboy gun didn't happen, but we talked about how that we need to begin to shift our perspective of the waiting season. It's not a time for us to sit back and be stagnant, right? But this is a time to prepare for what God has for us, right? This isn't a time just to sit back and be passive and just think, well, God's going to do something. But this is a time for us to press in and go after Him, right? Begin to find out and do those things that get better at those things that will help us with our calling. And we talked about a couple different things. One of them, we looked at Deuteronomy 1, verses 1 through 2, there in the New Living Translation. And we found out while looking at the children of Israel that the journey that should have taken them only just how many days? 11 days? Yeah, there you go. You guys are awesome. It took them how long? 40 years, right? And we found out from that verse, whose fault was it? It was their fault. It was because of their unbelief, because of their negativity, the way that they talked about themselves, right? The way that they talked about God. It kept them right there in that waiting season. And we said, you know, many times, a lot of us, we think we're waiting on God, but God is saying, hey, I'm waiting on you. God has a purpose for your waiting season, and it's transformation. He wants you to come out better. He wants you to come out bitter, or bigger, not bitter, sweeter, right, than before. But it's up to us. We got to say, yes, Lord, change me, use me. And so tonight, we're going to start with part two here. And if you got your little handout there, get ready to go with that. And I just want to say thank you to everybody after last week. A lot of you wrote me little emails and stuff and said, Daniel, great job, man. You're really good. And somebody, you know, said to me afterwards, you weren't pastor, but you were all right. So thank you for that as well. And I just appreciate all the encouragement. Going home that night, actually, Neil, you'll find this is funny. So I was going home, and I had the kids in the back seat of the car, and I'm like, okay, guys, what'd you get from Dad's sermon? Oh, man. But I think Ethan was playing Fortnite on his phone down here. But I asked him, I said, so Ava, she did good. She was like, Dad, I realized that the length of time that you spend in the wilderness is dependent on you. You, it's up to you, you know, how you respond. That's what keeps you there or takes you out. I'm like, amen, girl, yeah. And then I turn over to Ethan. I say, Ethan, he looks up from his phone, yeah. I said, what'd you get out of Daddy's sermon tonight? He goes, life is hard. Life is hard. I like, pulled the car over. Chris, I was going to like pull him out and give him a whipping on the side of the road. I didn't. I had to control my conversation, work on my conversation right there. But one of the questions, some of the feedback I got, one of the questions was this. It was, Daniel, that's great, awesome. You talked about what we should work on when we're in the wilderness or in that waiting time, and we're looking to go to the promised land, right? We can't get to the promised land without going through the wilderness. We're all going to go through it. We talked about that last week. But this person said to me, but Daniel, what do you do if you feel like you don't have a promised land? Like, you don't really have a word. You don't really have a passion. You don't feel like God's put a calling in your heart. What should you do? What should you do? And we all know that it's very important that we have a vision, right? The Bible says without a vision, people perish, right? So tonight, after hearing that, I thought, you know, there could be other people like that. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to answer that question. Is that cool? With some points here. So number one there, what should I do when I don't see the promised land? If we could go over to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 15. If you could turn in your Bibles or your device, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 15. Remember back in the old days, guys, when we'd say, turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 16, and we'd all cheer? Because we were excited about God's word, right? Can we try that again? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Yeah, I like that. All right. Okay, so prepare. 1 Samuel 16. Okay, so let me kind of put this in context. So tonight, King Saul, right, he's having this tormenting spirit, right, that keeps bothering him. He can't sleep. He's just being tormented by this thing all the time, and that's what we're going to pick up right here. So Saul, some of Saul's servants said to him, a tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. Verse 16. Let us find a good musician to play the harp whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you. He will play soothing music, and you will soon be well again. Okay, next verse. All right, Saul said, find me someone who plays well and bring him here. First Samuel, okay? And then next, one of the servants said to Saul, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he is a brave warrior, a man of war, and has good judgment. He's also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him. I love that part. It's the best part, right? So let's jump back, guys, one more time to verse 17. Saul says, find me someone who plays well. Verse 18. One of Jesse's sons is a talented harp player. Not only that, he's a brave warrior. He's a man of war. He has good judgment. He's fine-looking, and the Lord is with him. Think about this. Saul just asked for a harp player. Look what he got. Look what he got here. Okay, so what I want you to write down that first thing is when our opportunity comes, we need to be more than what is required. Now think about this. David has been a shepherd boy. A shepherd boy, right? Out in the fields with sheep. Where did he get all these skills? Brave warrior, man of war, good judgment, fine looking, right? The Lord is with him. That takes time. He had to prepare. He had to get ready. So when the opportunity came, right, he was more than what was required. God doesn't give me what I want. He gives me what I'm prepared for. God doesn't give me what I want. He gives me what I'm prepared for. David Blunt said that. That's one of his quotes. Faith prepares. One of my favorite quotes growing up when I was little, Dad used to have this painting hanging down in his office in the basement. It was of Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln's got some books in his hand. And underneath it, it says a quote from him. It says, I'll prepare and someday my chance will come. That's what you and I, even if you don't know where you're going tonight, even if you don't got a solid picture in your head of the promised land of what it is, you still need to be preparing. You still need to be getting better on every level. You still need to be working on, right? I mean, look at all these things he was doing, right? Good judgment, right? He was taking care of how he looked. And he was a shepherd boy out in the field. So even though we don't got a clear picture tonight, you need to be getting prepared. Begin to get, so think about this. You got a shepherd who's got the qualifications of a king. Now put your name in that. I'm a housewife. You need to be getting qualified for more than that. You need to be preparing for more than that. If you feel like God's called you to more than that, I'm just a student in college. You need to be preparing for more than that. Well, I work at Walmart, Daniel. Well, that's great if that's God's calling for your life. But if you're waiting for something more, you don't got a clear picture, you need to be getting prepared. You'd be getting better, right? If you're working hard, it's not just going to fall on your lap, right? Think about this. What if he asked for a musician and that servant was like, well, Saul, there's this all right playing musician. He's okay. David's decent. He hits wrong notes here and there. He sometimes plays the key. He wouldn't have got this job, would he? It's because he was prepared that that door opened for him, right? And we find out later, right, that leads to Goliath, right, which leads to the kingship. Amen? Okay, so number one, say prepare. Prepare. Look at your neighbor, say it's all you. All right, so what's a practical next step? Daniel, I don't even know the first step, how I could prepare. How many of you heard of our Backstage podcast? You heard of our Backstage podcast? Did you guys know your church has a podcast that pastor puts together every month just for you? It's right here, backstage.cotr.org. And if you don't know where to start, what books to read, that's a great place to start. He shares all kinds of little golden nuggets, answers questions, talks about our paraphrases, our culture here, and it's amazing. I'm the guy that interviews him, and every time I sit down, I come away with something new. But where do you start? Prepare today. There's an easy, quick way right there. You could do it on your phone. You can have it pulled up right now. When you walk out, listen to it in your car. That's the next step. Number two, what should you be doing if you don't know where you're going? Focus on the little things. Focus on the little things. I heard a story about this boy named Jeff. And Jeff lived down at Gulf Shores right there in Alabama. And he loved to fish. He was about 13 years old. And he had a couple buddies with him. One was 14. The other one was 13. And they loved to fish, man. That was their passion. Well, one day, Jeff was in his living room. He heard his dad come in and talking to some of his friends. His dad was saying, man, I had a great day. I took my boat out about 9 miles offshore to a big oil platform. And when I got out there, the red snapper were going crazy. I was throwing them in my boat left and right. They were huge, massive, 9 miles off this oil platform. So Jeff got an idea. He said, man, I don't want dad to be the only one to get to do that. Talk to his buddies, and guess what? He wasn't supposed to, but he he knew where that oil platform was. He put it in his GPS, got his buddies, got in the boat, and off he went. 9 miles, right? He got out there to where the oil platform was supposed to be. But guess what? It wasn't there. So he thought, maybe dad was mistaken. I'll just keep going a little bit longer, right? So he gets out 10, 11 miles. There's still no oil platform there. Wow, this is not looking good. His gas gauge is starting to get kind of low, right? So he keeps going. 12, 13 miles, boat's dead, no oil platform. Him and these two boys floating around out in the ocean by themselves. Now, this is a true story. Now, Coast Guard finds them, rescues them, brings them back. He gets in big trouble with his dad. But this is what was interesting. Was his dad said, you went to the oil platform? He goes, yeah. He goes, 9 miles off? He goes, uh-huh. Put in the GPS, the coordinates, all this. His dad took the GPS, right, to the boat store or whatever, I guess you call it. And they opened that GPS up, right, and they found out that the settings were off by just like a half degree. Okay, a half degree. It actually sent those boys off course by 15 miles. The point here is, not taking care of the little things today can lead to huge mistakes later down the road. Not focusing on those small things, the things you think don't matter, that nobody even sees, can make a big difference on if you make your promised land or not. Amen? Let's look at this verse, Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps, everyone say steps. Let's read this together. One, two, three. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Does it say the leaps? Does it say the jumps? No, it doesn't. Say catch a cab? No, it doesn't. It's the steps. Those are small little things. The small things make a big difference. And what I want to encourage you today is, in this time of trying to figure out what your promised land is, don't get focused on the outcome. Focus on the process. Focus on the little things. Quit thinking about how much money you're going to make. Quit thinking about your ministry that's going to reach all these people. Quit thinking about that book you want to write, right? Because guess what? Those outcomes, they're hard to control. Those outcome-based goals, focus on the process. Am I doing the things today that will get me there? Am I having my quiet time, right? Those little things. Am I doing the little things? There's a guy named Shaka Smart who is a coach for the University of Texas, basketball coach. Anybody ever heard of him, guys? Anybody? Right, he also was with VCU when VCU went like crazy and had these great runs in the playoffs. And they asked Shaka Smart, they said, man, what was your strategy? He had this great upset victory, you might remember it, with North Carolina. They asked him, what was your strategy, Shaka? How'd you do this? And he goes, man, we just follow the process. We don't talk about strategy. We don't talk about plays. We follow the process. Many coaches talk about this all the time. Follow the process. How many of you heard that phrase before? The Philadelphia 76ers, the process. Focus on the process. And where it comes from is Nick Saban. Anybody heard of that coach before? I'm sorry if you don't like football, but he's the coach of Alabama, right? He's amazing. And he talks about this all the time. As we focus on the process, we don't focus on the outcome. It's the process that'll get me to the outcome. But guess what? The outcome, if I focus on that, I may not make it there. And what he found out was, he said, if I look at a football game and I think about all the things that go into making that football game happen and me get a victory, it'll depress me. It'll get me upset. Like thinking about all those things I got to take care of. But what he began to do is he broke down the football game and he realized the average football play is 7 seconds. Everyone say 7 seconds. He said, I quit thinking about the SEC championship. I just started thinking about 7 seconds. I quit thinking about a national championship. I just thought about 7 seconds. Are my players giving their all in that 7-second drill? Are we going the extra mile? Are we having the right attitude? Are we giving them as much effort as we can? Break it down to the smallest thing. Write this down. Monumental success comes as a result of an accumulation of the small things done right. Monumental success comes as a result of an accumulation of the small things done right. It's the little things. Sometimes we're in a waiting season, we don't see where we're going. We begin to get sloppy, like we talked about last week. We think certain things don't matter, but those are the things God's looking at to qualify us. Well, I'm just going to show up late. I'm going to take this from the office. Nobody's going to notice. I can skip my Bible reading for the next couple days. It's not really going to make that big a difference. But just like that boat, it is going to make a big difference. Jim Rohn. How many of you heard of Jim Rohn? I love him. He had a quote. I love this. He says, success is neither magical nor mysterious. Success is the natural consequence of applying the basic fundamentals. Just doing the small things. So Daniel, how do I start? I don't know where my promise land is. What is some, and I don't even know what my next steps are, my little things I should be focused on, the little things. Well, I got a practical next step for you. Say thanks, Daniel. All right. Well, it's Growth Track 101. And in Growth Track 101, how many taking Growth Track 101? Pastor lays out what's called the habits of a healthy believer. Do you remember that? How many remember that? There's 5 of them, right? Real simple. Bible reading. Daily prayer, right? Fellowship with other believers. Being spirit-led and giving of ourselves. Those are the little things, even if you don't know where God's calling you to, but those are the little things. Tighten those up. Focus on those right now. And guess what? You're going to reach that promised land that you don't know. You don't even know what it is, but God's going to bring you into that place. Number 3, look at your neighbor and say, it's all you. Ooh, that was weak. Say, it's all you. All right, we're going to turn to Genesis 41. Number 3, if you don't have a dream, this is from Pastor David Blunt, borrow someone else's dream. Borrow someone else's dream. Now look here, Genesis 41, verse 1, it says, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. Now, this is from the story of Joseph. How many remember that story? Now, God had given Joseph a dream that he was going to be ruler over all Egypt. But at this point, Joseph is in prison. How many of you doesn't look like he's got a promised land to go to? How many of you know that it looks bad, like God forgot him? Like he's got no future, that he's been thinking to himself, that dream that I had, that couldn't have been God. There's no way I'm in prison right now. Amen? But what does he do? Right here it says in Genesis 41, and then if you look to verse 12, I don't know, too, it says, they're talking about Joseph here, and it talks about now he's going to go and interpret Pharaoh's dream. If you don't have a dream tonight, if you don't know where you're going, you don't have a vision, you need to borrow someone else's dream. You need to find somebody else that you believe in their dream. You could come alongside them and help them reach the dream that God has given to them. Amen? Remember that. What you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Amen? So if you don't have a particular, like, just specific dream, you need to borrow somebody else's. And let me tell you this. You'd be surprised how many people will say, I didn't even know what I was called to do. But when I just stepped out and served another man's vision, God opened a door for me. I didn't even know what I was called to do. But when I began to serve, when I began to humble myself and just say, whatever, the door opened for me and I was set for the rest of my life. I was sent on a journey from that moment on. Borrow someone else's dream. What's the next step for that? Joining our dream team. Everyone say dream team. Joining our dream team. That's a practical thing you could do today. Get involved with the team here. Grab on to the mission of Church on the Rock. I think it's an awesome dream. It's an awesome promised land, right? Let's say it together. To lead people to a God who is for them and help them discover his purpose for their lives. So that's what I want to encourage you. If you don't have a promised land, you feel like, number one, you need to prepare. Number two, you need to focus on the little things. And then number three, you need to borrow someone else's dream. But let me tell you, you need a vision. You need a promised land. But until you get it, these are the things you can do. And guess what? God will open it up and show it to you. Amen? All right, so the next question I want to ask you, or I want to answer for you tonight, is this. How do I know I'm coming to the end of my time of waiting? Would anybody like to know that? I still got 10 minutes. Would anybody really like to know that? How would I know I'm coming to the end of my time of waiting? Okay. First off, let me pull this in my notes here, make sure I get this right. Okay, is in Romans 5, verse 3, let's take a look at it. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Everyone say endurance. Say it like you really mean it, endurance. Number one, how do you know that you're coming close to your time of waiting? You have greater endurance. The things that used to bother you, they don't bother you anymore. That person at work who used to say those things, man, and it would set you off, and you would talk about it at lunch, and then you'd talk about it with your wife at dinner, and then you'd have trouble going to sleep. Now, man, you just sleep like a baby. Oh, you're like, oh, no big deal. I'll pray for that person, right? You can endure it. Those little times of waiting when it seems like, man, now it's easy. Now it's easy. It doesn't bother you at all. You have endurance. Number two, let's look at Esther 2, verse 12. Esther 2, verse 12. During the year before each young woman's turn to go to King, that guy, the harem regulation required to receive beauty treatments with oil of myrrh for 6 months, and then with perfumes and cosmetics for another 6 months. I give credit to Dad again for this. That word myrrh there means bitter. Means bitter. The perfumes stand for sweetness. Everyone say sweetness. Like you really mean it, sweetness. I will have, number two, a sweeter spirit. Before, the wilderness is bitter, but before you're going to come out into all that the king has for you, you're going to have to get sweet. You're going to have to get sweet. I love this. John Smoltz, the pitcher for the Braves, he said that there's only one letter difference between bitter and better. How do you know you're about ready to come out? You're getting sweeter. In your quiet time, instead of, Lord, I'm just so sick of that. I'm just so sick of that. Why does that keep happening to me? Now it's like, God, what are you trying to teach me? Lord, what are you trying to show me? Holy Spirit, I don't want comfort. I want to be coached. Show me, Lord. Your spirit gets sweeter. You quit caring about your way. You quit caring about if you get the credit. You quit caring about who recognizes you. You just become sweeter. Guess what? It's about ready to open up. That door is about ready to open up. All right, next, number three. Let's go to Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. It says here, all the commandment which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which Jehovah swore unto your fathers. Next verse. And thou shalt remember all the way which Jehovah thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Remember, we talked about that last week, God leading us into this time of waiting, that he might humble thee, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Now, I was reading this one commentary, and I thought this was good. It said that God brought them to the wilderness so that they would feel their entire dependence on him for help, sustenance, and guidance. I will have greater dependence on God. Number three, I will have greater dependence on God. You quit doing things in your own strength, you start doing it in his strength. You start waking up in the morning saying, God, I can't do it without you today. I need you. I need you. Some about when you're in that wilderness season, in that waiting season, I was thinking about it. You know, you get up in the mornings, man, you're in a rush. You're just making it happen. But you know you're about ready to come out of it when instead of just jumping up, you drop to your knees. Next to your bed, you get your Bible out. God, I got to hear from you today. You're dependent on him. Amen? So number three, I will have greater dependence on God. Number four, I will grow in humility. I'll grow in humility. Say, it's all you. Let's go to Isaiah 17, 10, verse 11 in the NIV. Everybody doing okay? Okay. So, we're going to read this one together, and if you guys could we emphasize all the words, this word right here? What's it, what word is that? Okay, ready? So here we go. One, two, three. You have forgotten God your Savior. You have not remembered the rock, your fortress. Therefore, you set out the finest plants and plant imported vines through on. On that day, you set them out, you make them grow, and on the morning when you plant them, you bring them to bud, yet the harvest will be as nothing. You see something there? Go back to the other verse. You have forgotten God, and you are trying to make it happen. Did you see all the ewes in that thing? Was there a harvest there? No harvest. No harvest at all. There's a thing going on right now. It's graduation time, right? Graduations are happening all over. We got to sit through a whole lot of speeches. Amen? And you keep hearing this phrase all the time. Trust yourself. Be true to yourself. Go out there and make yourself happy. And I heard somebody say yesterday, it's really a time of the gospel of self-trust. Everybody putting their trust in themselves and what they can do. But if we could, how many know that's not God's way for us, right? 1 Peter 5, verse 6, let's take a look at this. Let's read this one together. Here we go. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So that verse is basically saying, due time comes as a result of me. So the due time, me making it through the wilderness, me experiencing the promised land, doesn't come until when? I humble myself. I humble myself and I realize, God, I can't do it without you. I've been trying to do this thing in all my own strength. I've been trying to see what I could control, see what I could politic, see how I can maneuver, see how I can network. And I haven't been focused on you. I've been missing it all. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. I've been trying to make plants grow. But there's no harvest. Amen? Let's go to Psalm 138, verse 8 in the NIV. And I will read. This is one of my favorite verses. And actually, I got the wrong translation, Dad. But it says, the Lord will vindicate me. But in some of your translations, it says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. You won't fulfill it, right? He does it. He's the person that makes it happen once we line up with what he's trying to do in our lives. And so many people, they're putting their trust in the wrong thing today. They're putting their trust in themselves and thinking that's how they're going to get out of this time. That's, you know, but it's not. It's when they're humble and give it all to God, let it rest all with God, that time of waiting is over and you enter into your promised land. If the guys want to come out playing the keyboard, if we could bow our heads tonight, I want to just camp on that right there, which is the gospel of self-trust. You know, Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and life. And he said, I'm the bread of life. Now, when he's talking about I'm the bread of life, he's saying I'm the only true way to fulfillment. There's a whole lot of self-help podcasts out there today, a whole lot of self-help books saying they can show you the true way to fulfillment, show you the true way to success. But guess what? Jesus said none of that is going to lead to real fulfillment. There's a hole in your heart that only he can fill. He's the bread of life. The only thing that's going to make you full, not hungry for the things of this world, is him, a relationship with him. And so right now, I just want to give you the opportunity. Maybe you heard something tonight that just resonated in your spirit, and you said, man, Daniel's right. I've been in this season too long. I've just been sitting around waiting. I've been maybe getting sloppy with the small things. I haven't been keeping my relationship with God close and on fire like I should. I've pushed him to the side. Like that verse said, I've forgotten him. I've been putting all my trust in myself, and all it is leaving me empty, man. I'm just sitting here in the wilderness, not moving forward. If that's you tonight and you say, Daniel, I want to get through this. I want to learn what God wants me to learn. I want to get my relationship right with him tonight. If that's you, if you would, just raise your hand. I would like to pray with you tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Keep your hand raised so I can see it. Thank you. All right. Hallelujah. So if you would, if you'd say this, if we could all say this prayer together, we are going to just rededicate for some of you could be for the first time, we are going to give our lives to Christ. We're going to ask him into our heart. Forgive us of our sins, right? Here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, let's say it like we really mean it. Come on, this is salvation, right? Here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe you raised him from the dead. Now, Jesus, I ask you, come into my life. Forgive me my sins. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I put my full trust in you to fulfill your purpose for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give them a hand clap for making that decision tonight? Awesome.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.